You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Wait, what's up?
Okay, do you want Noah Syndergaard?
On the Padres?
No.
Okay.
That's it. Well, I guess we're keeping Austin Hedges. All right, bye. Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. Is this off-season stressing you out? Yeah, it's stressing us out, too. This whole episode is basically a clip package of me talking to Dallas McLaughlin, Travis Russell, Padres Haiku, and Andy Keats from The Voice of San Diego about the rumors that have been going around the Padres for the last, I guess, almost a month now. I don't know. But basically, we covered the Noah Syndergaard possible trade with the Mets and the Will Myers trade to the Mariners. I mean, that's basically the two main trades that have been swirling around. And I went over to Dallas's house on Saturday. We talked about what was going on by then. And then I went over to Travis's house on Monday. And then I went to Padres Haiku's house and talked to Andy Keats or The Voice of San Diego on Tuesday. So that's kind of the timeline. And basically what you're going to hear is a round of Noah Syndergaard talk and then a round of Will Myers talk. And at the end, Dallas has some thoughts about Andy Green, and Andy has some other thoughts too. But it's a fun little clip package. These rumors have been just driving everybody nuts online, and we just wanted to capture, I think, pretty much the spectrum of what people have been talking about. It's kind of amazing to start hearing the prospects be thrown into these trades and Noah Syndergaard possibly coming. Who could be a possible, you know, he could be a great pitcher for the Padres. Who knows? But we dig into it on this episode, and it was a lot of fun. This is probably the last Padres podcast we're going to do in 2018 unless some massive trade happens or some big monumental thing happens after maybe the winter meetings. After that, we're going to do some Seals podcast probably in December or early January with Seals Jagoff. That should be fun. But this last year has been so much fun. We did 45 episodes. We did 3 live events. We were able to make a bunch of merch, T-shirts, koozies, socks. And we'd like to thank all of our patrons who did it this year and really signed up and really helped us out so much. And it meant so much to us. We really appreciate it. If you feel like joining this year, please go to patreon.com at the Kept Faith and join the party. It's a lot of fun, and it actually really helps us out. We've been able to buy equipment and put some money into live pods and put it into hosting stuff and make merch. So it's been great, and we haven't really, you know, we've just been able to keep this project going. So it means a lot. And anyways, well, we're going to be covering the off season the best we can. We're probably not going to do much unless something massive happens, but it's been fun going on this ride with you. And check out this little clip package, and I'll see you at the end for a bonus. All right, bye. We're into the off season. And things are heating up. How do you feel about the Padres going after Noah Syndergaard?
I think it's
or not going after. I don't know what's happening, but we're talking about Noah Syndergaard, and we probably will be for the next 2 months.
I think it's adorable. I think if we get Noah Syndergaard, awesome. My favorite thing right now happening on Padres Twitter is the argument between going after established players or holding on to young talent. And it seems like you can't be right either way. You know, like everyone's going to be mad at you for saying one thing. The only thing that I tweeted this last night, I try so hard to never tweet about the Padres again just because I'm so sick of that world. I can't be a part of it anymore. It's just mean and dirty and nasty, and everyone's right and everyone's wrong, and you're all horrible people. So I tweeted out last night that the only thing I'm happy that they did so far, and it could be the only thing they do this offseason and I'm fine with, is releasing Corey Spangenberg. Even though he is the Kept Faith prospect that we drafted like 7 years ago, yeah. I'm happy because what that means is that they're committed to the young guys. He was becoming Will Venable, that guy who was just there and playing just well enough that we weren't going to get rid of him, and that he could play just well enough to block a young person who needed to get the at-bats. So them releasing Spangenberg is, to me, the right call. It's one of the few moves I'm like, oh, yeah, this move 100% makes sense because you have young guys who need that playing time. I think it's possibly a commitment to bringing up Tatis, too, in a certain way. If he has a good spring, if he can play, you know, he's had the surgery and stuff, if he can be on top of it and handle the task. I think it's the good move. I think you can play Urias. I think you can you have just some flexibility with getting Ernest Spangenberg. And if that's all they did this offseason, I'd be fine with it. But anyone wanting to hold on to Margot instead of getting a Syndergaard, you're a moron. You're a moron. You haven't been watching baseball for two seasons. Get over it with your prospects, Margot and Hedges.
What's wrong?
Whoa.
Sorry, Nick.
I like Margot, but yeah, no, Syndergaard scares the crap out of me because I've had him in my fantasy team for so many years, and like he has the stuff to be, he can be the best pitcher in baseball, like if he stays healthy, the most dominant probably, yeah. But like, he doesn't finish seasons. There's always something wrong. He throws so hard and he doesn't, I wonder if he came over and Darren Balsley helped him. Yeah. He needs to learn how to pitch properly and not get injured. It seems like he doesn't know, you know, those guys who are just so athletic that they don't know how to properly stretch or something. I don't know. It seems like that.
Doesn't it feel like there's something, and I mean, we're not, this isn't breaking news, but it feels like there's been something wrong with the Mets pitchers just for a long time, which does that reflect on the Mets pitchers or does it reflect on the Mets training staff? I would argue the Mets training staff. I mean, Cespedes can never stay healthy. You know, they have Jay Bruce who can never stay healthy for a year. You know, it just seems like there's a lot of guys who, if they're even semi-fragile players, they just are always hurt if they're a Met. So maybe he comes over and maybe he thrives in San Diego. I mean, you're going to be pitching in NL West, which outside of Colorado, you got some pretty favorable parks. I would love to have Noah Syndergaard. He's still young. You got like you got another good 4 years with Noah Syndergaard, I think. I'm just saying for him, athleticism-wise, I think you got another good 4 years before he might fall off a cliff. I would love him more than Margot and Hedges. I just think there's other people to play in the outfield than Margot.
No, I think it's time to really start looking at Margot. I still want to believe in Margot, but I mean, I wouldn't mind trading Margot and Hedges.
But I'm just saying, if you traded Margot and Hedges, two people who really haven't given you much the last two seasons.
But they're asking for more than that.
But I'm just saying, like, but I know, and this isn't specifics, and everybody who's listening to this is so mad because I didn't say the specific names or whatever, but there are certain, you look at certain prospects and you go, what have they given me on the big league level versus this guy who's clearly one of the best pitchers in the National League and has been for the last like five seasons. Like you just, you weigh the benefits. And then obviously you have to think, well, when are we actually going to be competitive? They're saying in two seasons, you'd still have Syndergaard. I don't know. Just to me, I'm totally fine with that. I might actually watch a game every five games.
Like we're walking down the road that we've been down before with a really good young-ish pitcher, right? He's in his late 20s, Syndergaard.
He's like in his mid-20s.
He's 26er?
A lot of people think he's got about 3 or 4 prime years left, and so, do you want to be a part of that? And also the question with the Padres is like, is getting him this year wasting a year of that primetime Noah stuff? Because he is so... He does look like the profile of a guy who's going to flame out early, probably.
Yeah, like
Do you want to do that? If you're going to do that going into like when you're cresting and you're making a push towards the postseason, would it make sense to go after a Noah Syndergaard 2 years from now as like a final piece, like a Kevin Brown?
Yes, yeah. Because he's like all those guys that we've had before, and I'm totally blanking. I don't know why, but you know all those hot arms that a lot, not a lot.
Well, he just looks like a guy. I mean, you think of like a Matt Latos or something like that. I think Latos. He's way more gifted than Latos, right, but like, yeah, he's yeah. Like these big lumbering guys. I've had him, you know, a couple years in fantasy, which I said with Dallas, but like it's so exciting and when he's clicking, but then. He's a lot. You know what he reminds me a lot. He reminds me a lot of God, what's his name? No, Strasburg, where it's like you see the beautiful talent and just one thing goes off and he's out for half a season. And I don't know. It just feels like we could be headed towards it. Don't you see like a whole off season of the Padres promoting Noah Syndergaard and then he tweaks his arm in May and they're bad by, I mean, they're basically out of it by early June and then they're just shutting him down because that's the smart thing to do with the asset that you're trying to preserve for three more years. I mean, that's kind of how that's like the worst case scenario, but I understand the other side.
That you just made with Strasburg is scary.
Well, it's the fact that
I've heard arguments that like Strasburg is the reason Washington never did what they were supposed to do because of that investment in him, building around him in a way, and then he can't make it through a season in the playoffs, and then just never happened. They spent so much money and all this talent, and when you center it around to Strasburg, that can get hurt, and it's on when he's on the best in the game, but when he's hurt, he's doing nothing for you. Yeah. That really makes me shy away from Syndergaard. That comp is scary.
All right, I'm here with Andy Keats from Voice of San Diego in my garage. So, Andy, you're an Orioles fan. That's been well established on this podcast. You have no sense of self anymore, but you're watching Padres Twitter, the Padres fan base kind of navigate these feelings towards, you know, possibly getting Noah Syndergaard. Where are you on Noah Syndergaard just as a guy?
I love Syndergaard. Syndergaard's great. I'm not even worried about the injury issues because he's a pitcher. Pitchers have injury issues. If you're going to go acquire a pitcher, you can't really be too worried about injuries, I think. I think you just have to eat that risk. The trade, I would have liked it where it was this morning. And then there was the MLB Network I saw that included Paddock.
Right. So we were – this morning, the MLB Network posted a potential trade that I guess was not, like, actually sourced. Or it was just an idea.
Yeah, I can't tell if they were reporting it or if they were saying, here's a thing that it could happen. Yeah.
But it was enough for everybody to lose their minds. Well, okay, let's just say that was real. What do you think about the Darnot, Syndergaard for Lucchese, Hedges, and Paddock?
I really have fallen in love with Paddock. I have the issue of liking a prospect too much with Paddock, more than basically any other pitcher in the system. So now, granted, you got to give up something to get something, and it would be easy to trade for All-Stars if you never had to trade a prospect that you liked too much. But Paddock might be a deal breaker for me. I would rather even put Gore in there than Paddock.
That's controversial. I mean, it seems like the consensus usually is like Gore and Tatis are off the table. I heard Anderson Espinosa's name get brought up, and that scared me. But I think it's just because I've known his name for so long. They become family at a certain point. But Paddock, are you? Did you get to see him in Lake Elsinore?
I did see him once in Lake Elsinore, and just like he has the approach that I like. Like Gore is still all elbows and legs, and and he's so young and far away from the majors that it seems like there's still too much that could go wrong, you know. And coming from my perspective as an Orioles fan, the Dylan Bundy experience looms large. Whereas like Paddock's probably going to debut this year. He throws, you know, he just strikes everyone out. Give me Paddock. I would personally prefer the trade if you swapped Paddock and Gore.
Oh, wow. Okay. And some people are very high on not letting Lucchese go, which I saw a little bit today. And I don't know. I mean, of Lucchese, Lauer, and Nix, I imagine a lot of teams are going to be asked to pick between those three. I mean, who do you take out of those three if you're the Mets?
Without hesitation, you take Lucchese. Mm-hmm. But also, if I'm the Padres and like that's an important part of the deal, fine. Like that's easy. You're talking about getting Thor. Like it's fine.
Yeah. Do you think it's too early for the Padres to be making this kind of move?
I do think it's probably too early to be making this kind of move. But if that's what they want to do, and this is the trade that's on the table, he's a really good pitcher. Like my issue with the Eric Hosmer signing last year was that I don't think he's that good. Mm-hmm. So like, everybody was excited that they were spending money finally, and I get that, but I didn't want Eric Hosmer at any price. I have no interest in the guy. Yeah. So, like, Syndergaard is not that. Syndergaard's a great player. Like, I have a much bigger leeway for going early or overpaying if you're at least getting a stud. And I don't think Eric Hosmer qualifies as a stud, so I didn't like it. Syndergaard, like, even if they include Paddock, I won't be that critical because you're getting a stud back.
So Mets Twitter, I mean, is awful. But, like, they just want to start everything with Tatis or Meja. They just want to get, like, the number one and two or three prospects for Noah Syndergaard. I get that they love Noah Syndergaard, but, like, it's just, that's just not going to happen. And, like, Paddock is, like, probably, like, the prize chip in that deal, and I get it, but I would rather it be, like, Nix or Quantrill or, you know, someone else, just not Paddock, probably. Like, that would be, like, the one arm that I probably would want to hang on to. But the other thing is, I was reading on The Athletic earlier today, is that the Rockies are sort of in on Syndergaard, too. Is that the new GM for the Mets is a little bit more friendly for the GM for the Rockies. And so this might be a little bit of gamesmanship on the Padres trying to raise the price on Syndergaard. So if the Rockies do try to go and get Syndergaard, it costs them a little bit more for a divisional rival, which is smart on their end. I think the last time they did that, though, the Padres it sort of bit them in the behind. But...
Does Syndergaard scare you in general, just as a person? I mean, he has dominant stuff. When he's healthy, he's as dominant as anybody. But, like, you know, it's just, I imagine Mets fans aren't, they love him. He's been, you know, deep in the playoffs with them. And but, like, it's probably been hard to be a Mets fan following his career because he has just missed so much time. And, you know, this deal for me that came up today, I could live with that. It's a risk for both sides. I don't think it's a good trade. That I don't know who threw that out, but like
Dan O'Dowd threw it out. Yeah. But like,
we're gonna hear stuff like this for like 2 months. Yeah, I think
it's gonna be like this for a while. But the thing is, like, the real like numbers side of Padres Twitter was like, oh yeah, in a heartbeat, like, sure, no problem. And like, I'm not one of those guys, so like, maybe this is a better trade than, you know, I'd give it credit for. It's just, like, I don't know, man. Like, put maybe, like, two or three other pitching prospects ahead of Paddock, and, like, I'd say, oh, sure, yeah, oh, absolutely. Even with Hedges in the deal, like, okay. But just not, I don't know, like, maybe not with Paddock. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, Syndergaard, you know who else gets hurt a lot and is dominant is Clayton Kershaw. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not saying that the two are the same, but it's just like both have like a history of getting hurt or missing like 10, 11, 12 games a season. It's not like you wouldn't, you know, trade, you know, your arm and leg for like Clayton Kershaw on your team. So not in the playoffs, of course, but like, you know, it's like still like, you know, kind of like to have that on your team, like August, July, for sure.
You brought up Will Myers. I want to get to that. You know, he's been traded. He's been put in trade talks with like the Mariners, and just, you know, it seems like they're trying to look for options that they can do with him. Yeah. I think he's been devalued by being a Padre since the Eric Hosmer signing. He doesn't have a position. He's at the age now where like, you need to have a position, or that means you're a bad defensive player. I think we can just say that Will Myers is a bad defensive player, and he should be in the American League. It'd be good for him.
Yeah.
I think he makes sense to me as just a first baseman DH who you can throw in the outfield for like a week if you have to, or maybe play third base for a week if you have to. He's a valuable player if he doesn't have to be your everyday position player outside of first base, to me.
Yeah.
But do you like some of those prospects or those the rumored trade ideas?
Oh, dude, I think it was, I apologize to Danny. I think it was Danny Ortiz from 5.5, but I could be wrong. Him or Marver, I forget. But one of them tweeted out, like, if that trade went through, we'd have an infield, you know, theoretically, of Tatis, Segura, Urias, and Hosmer. And in that tweet said, if Hosmer can even be a shadow of himself, that's a fantastic infield. And I 100% agree with that. That is a great infield. Like, Segura is really good shortstop. And You know, he's one of those dudes who'll just surprise you. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, Gene Segura is one of the top, like, in fantasy. He's always like, oh, he's in the top five for somehow, you know, like.
Somebody tweeted his comps at 28 years old are very similar to, like, Barry Larkin and Craig Biggio numbers. Oh, like, he's like, I know, but you know Larkin. What I mean? Like, he's still, I thought he was a little older than that.
Sorry
but,
about my cat.
No, it's okay. But, yeah, so, I mean, I just.
I love it.
I want Will Myers. I don't want to be like frustrated with Will Myers for another year. I would love to just move on. It'd be good for his career. I think he's a. I like him as a person. I think he's been a quality person in our community. Like, I like him, and I think he's really talented. It's just for him, at least, like, he should be in the American League. It's just that's what he is.
And we did. We signed him to an extension, a favorable extension, for this reason.
Like, and it would have been fine if they didn't sign Eric Hosmer. If they didn't sign Eric Hosmer and he was our first baseman for two more years, fine, whatever.
Yeah. No, totally. But, like, you signed Will Myers to a team-friendly contract, basically, for this reason. So you could move him if the time was right and if the deal was right. And if you can get Gene Segura and Mike Leake, who's a serviceable either rotation guy or a long-inning relief guy, like, you have... You don't need, there's just no need for Myers. When you are constantly searching for a place to have Myers figure it out, then guess what? You don't need Will Myers anymore.
Yeah, and if you're going to be looking at, if Margo stays on the team, you're going to be looking at Renfro for another year, Franchi's going to be back, and you're going to, Franmil, yeah, you're going to have Will Myers out there trying to figure out outfield again. It doesn't seem fair to him, and I think it's just, it has to happen.
Well, it doesn't seem fair to him, and also, I mean, that's the other end of it, too. We consider him, like, oh, we don't like Will Myers, but... Also, you can clearly see last year, he didn't like being here. Like, and I don't blame him. You don't know where he's going to play. He doesn't know where he's going to play. He has to learn third base. Like, I mean, come on. Like, you're right. It's not fair to him. And if I was him, I'd be pretty ticked off too, man. So it's like, why would you want to be here anymore? You know, like, it goes both ways. It's not that he's been so great and indispensable. It's been that he's a pretty good player who we can't find a place for because he's just not outdoing anyone else.
I know a lot of people are hot on Paddock and a lot of these pitchers. I'm not. Pitching to me is fragile. You know what I mean? It's the one thing that, you know, a Tommy John away or whatever from not being as effective as you were. So to me, Tatis and Urias are the two that are untouchable. Those are the two guys I'd like to see up the middle, kind of like the foundation of our team. Pretty much everyone else, I'm willing to move around to make a good deal. But I really think not only because I don't want to watch him anymore, but like Myers needs to go in a lot of ways. I think for the morale of the team, the way that the team's being constructed, you know, I don't think that there's going to be a big Fortnite crew for next year. It looks like a lot of those guys have moved off.
No, well, Spangenberg's gone, but they're keeping Aswahe. That's the.
Well, I thought he wasn't DFA'd too?
No, he wasn't. No.
That's so interesting, right?
Villanueva was, and Spangenberg, Colin Ray, yeah. And yeah, that's happening. So, I mean, yeah, but like, I don't know. I think Will Myers, I was telling Dallas this earlier, but like, it just seems like he would be served better in the American League as an asset. He would be he'd be more valuable in the American League. So it's better for him. It's better for us to just not have that confusion about what to do with them that the Padres created themselves.
Yeah. And I feel like he's the one thing that is pulling, if there is Padres Twitter or, you know, the hardcore fans apart. I think there is a real divide, even though us anti-Myers fraction is a lot smaller. It's the one thing that we vehemently disagree on as Padres fans is Will Myers. And just for that reason right now, it's like we have enough young stuff coming up. The backside of his contract is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If we can move him, that I think that's the one priority this offseason.
Yeah. Enter.
Like the issue with the Hosmer thing was like you spent all that money, did it a year early, all for somebody who's just not even that good at baseball.
Yeah. And it also devalued Myers because Myers doesn't really have a position now. And, you know, we're going into 2019. The team still hasn't solved what he is defensively. So, you know, about a couple weeks ago, the Seattle Mariners and Padres were talking about a deal involving Will Myers and basically Juan Segura. I mean, what did you think about that? That's kind of died down. And Leake was in there, too, but...
Yeah, that rumored deal, that's like a no-brainer. Give me that right away. Give me that immediately. I don't need any hesitation. I would have to believe that the, I think it was Rosenthal reported that deal, that there was other stuff that didn't make it into his reporting, either that the Padres are going to spend more money, they're going to send more money to the Mariners or send more prospects. If it doesn't, then that's the most, that's the biggest no brainer that's been rumored. It's Segura and Leak for Myers. Okay. Yeah. Give me that immediately.
So a big move that happened today was the Braves, or I guess yesterday, yeah. Last night, the Braves signed Josh Donaldson, which mm-hmm. takes a third baseman off the board. Where are you on Will Myers, Seattle, Juan Segura, that whole man. Thing? I mean, is he a third baseman? Is he an outfielder? Does he just make sense in the American League as a first base kind of utility?
No, I think he's a DH. I think he's a perfect DH. He's not a very good third baseman. He was fine at first base. Be nice to see him there for more than like one season, but he's not going to get that here because of Hosmer. And
what did you think of that, like, potential trade? It's kind of died off.
Oh, man, like, I love that trade. Say, yeah. Oh, man, like, DePoto just seems to be just, you know, just clearing the decks. Just, like, let's just flush it, you know, go full rebuild, you know, see if anybody bites on that Cano trade or Cano contract. Let's just do it. It's just like, man, wheel and deal and DePoto up there. But, I'd love to have Segura on a shortstop as the shortstop. He would be here for I think 3 years, and if it's like Tatis at third, Segura, Urias, and then like Hosmer, it's fine.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a decent infield. I think that's competitive in the West, and like you know you can you know mix and match what you want up there out there in the outfield, and it's like it's a decent infield. Segura was good. I think the Padres had like an outside chance of getting him. For like a second, Ducksnorts actually, I think had some sort of like a algorithm in place at some point where it's like, yeah, we're gonna get Segura and we're gonna get you know like all these other pitchers, and it was just this beautiful like 15 team trade. Like you got to pull it up. I think it was like 2013 or 14 or something like that. It was just like this really great thing. But no, I was all about that trade, like getting Segura yeah. and the
pitch. He's putting together a nice career. And Mike Leake, I mean, he could fill some innings, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Leake is actually good. Like I think.
What about Will Myers straight up for Leake, which was thrown around just to get off of Myers?
Yeah,
I mean,
Myers
isn't going to work here. That's how I feel. But
no, he's a. I mean, as it sits right now, he's an appendage. Like we just don't need him because we have like an outfield that is flushed with. You know, players that, I mean, he's good. He's a good player. It's just like, he doesn't fit anywhere. We have outfielders that were like, well, we need to get these guys playing time. And we have, he can't play third. I'm sorry. He can't play third. And at first base, we've got, you know.
Well, if they don't get anybody, like Josh Donaldson's off the board. Yeah. I mean, if they don't, he might play some third next year. If they go into spring training with him on the roster, I mean, what are they?
They just picked up that guy from the Cubs system, right? Bolser, yeah, something like that.
Vossler,
yeah. So I don't know if he'll compete for a starting job, but like, I mean, probably maybe you know, I mean, they've got people sort of in line for that job. I don't know if like he might cover third base from time to time, but I don't think that the Padres front office sees. Will Myers as a long-term solution at third base. I mean, obviously they have Tatis, you know, I think on the board for being like a possible third base.
And they have Will Myers. It sounds like they're probably going to try to just make Will Myers the left fielder and then figure out Renfro and Reyes and how they fit in. And then
Cordero.
Cordero
is on the board too there. So they've got like five outfield spots. And, you know, it's a good, I mean, they say, well, that's a good problem to have. It's like, well, kind of, but like you have all this money to move around. It's like, you may as well try to move, you know, your asset in Will Myers to a team that's, you know, moving players around, you know, like Seattle. And that's what Seattle's doing.
Figure it out. I think the biggest thing for me that people are kind of been talking about a lot is Andy Green. I really don't like Andy Green. I really think he should be gone. My hope is that this season, if they can't do anything like they haven't been able to, that they just let him go. I mean, when you have people like Mark McGwire, who is, I don't think he was great as a bench coach. I, you know, he was he is what he is. I don't know, like, what does a bench coach really do? Mm-hmm. But if your bench coach is supposed to be there basically to support your coach, your manager, and if he was walking away because he can't stand being around Andy Green, you've already had problems with Andy Green and other players. Like, Will Myers clearly doesn't like Andy Green. Like, there's a lot of people who just don't seem to like Andy Green. Why is he there? Like, it's not like he's proven to be indispensable.
Yeah, the turnover with assistants is, it's beyond a pattern now. I mean, we can start to look at that as being this guy rubs people the wrong way, maybe. I don't know. But
what is he doing? That's the thing. It's like, yeah, what has he done to prove that he should stay there? Like, that's the weird thing to me, especially when people are going like, oh, you should get Rod Barajas up and give him the team. People in the minors love Rod Barajas. Like, he's beloved. You know what I mean? Like, sure, if we keep bringing up all these young guys, too, who have had him as their manager, why not give him the team? Like, what at this point, literally, what do we have to lose? It's not like we were paying Andy Green a ton of money. Yeah. It's like, what do we have to lose?
God. So what, I mean, now that like all these guys are coming up,
yeah,
how does it feel to like see these names being batted around? Like people were outraged at Mets fans for bringing up Tatis. Like, you can't do that. And even though that's the natural thing, that he's going to be brought up in every rumor that comes up. I mean, how do you think you yourself, as some, you know, you're kind of on the outskirts of Padres Twitter, I guess, but like, you know, but like that somebody hurts. Who's a, that no, hurts, no, yeah. I know. But like, if you guys, yeah. I mean, how do you think people are going to just deal with this shift where, you know, we're going to have to do something on the major league level, and these players that we've drafted, collected, are going to start being brought up all the time and possibly leave. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a real adjustment in the way people act, and especially online.
I think it will be. I think it's important to realize that, like, you build a farm system to populate your team, but also as ammunition for trades. Like, it's both. That's why the waves of talent were so important. That's why teams that are contending still keep trying to add prospects to their system, right? So, like, I do think that you need to get used to the idea of a guy like Tatis being in trade rumors. That said, like, it's top five prospects rarely get traded anymore. Like, that's a really steep price to pay, because the way baseball is now, that they're cost controlled and you would almost certainly be trading them for somebody who's already had their first real contract. It's just really hard to find a deal that makes sense that way. And so I don't actually blame Padres fans for like flipping out about Tatis's name coming up in this, and I wouldn't let go of Tatis for that deal either. I think right now it's a fun time where, like, it is not that make believe to start penciling out your rosters, your lineups with other people's names in, along with all the prospects we've been talking about for the last 3 years. Yeah. Like, 3 years ago, doing that was actually like playing fantasy baseball. Now it's like not that far-fetched to go through the Mejias and all these other guys and then add Syndergaard in there. Right. That's not crazy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I forget about just these names being battered around. I don't know how this fan base is going to deal with actually being good, having a good team. I mean, that's going to be I don't think Padres Twitter has really done that at all.
The thing here is the thing that I am most worried about for Padres Twitter. Here's my warning sign. Young teams, the Astros and Cubs were anomalies in that they came early, that all the prospects came up and then they just competed right away. It is common, the Royals, to the very limited extent that the Orioles had any success in their last rebuild, but Royals are a better example. It's kind of common that all your guys come up, none of them are that good right away, and you have two more disappointing seasons, and the rebuild gets written off as unsuccessful, only for them to only be 26 years old, and they get better, and they improve as veterans, and then you have your successful season 2 or 3 years later than you thought you would. And I don't think anybody on Padres Twitter is equipped for the possibility that, like, next year, probably not this year, but next year, you break camp with everybody up. All the names that we're talking about are up or are on the verge of coming up, and you still lose 85 games.
Because baseball is hard.
Because baseball is hard, and other teams are good, and they're all going to be 22. And, like, that might happen, And it's like it is.
We saw with the draft order. I mean, the way they got their draft pick. Like everybody else watched what the Astros and Cubs did. We're not the only one. So you can actually. Do you think we'll see another tanking total like that? Like all those teams getting that low? I mean,
well,
your team being. Did you get the number one pick?
Yeah, we got the number one pick, and we also got the assistant architect of the Lunau is now our chief director of the tank. So Elias is now in charge of the Orioles, who will certainly be intentionally losing for the next 2 or 3 years at least. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think. The only thing that might change that up is what happens in the next CBA. I think it's possible that the union realizes that the economics of baseball right now are kind of messed up, and maybe they like something, some of the new arrangement for whatever the new collective bargaining agreement doesn't necessarily allow for this sort of thing anymore, or at least makes it less attractive. Even if it's only marginally less attractive, that could make a difference. Right now, like, every incentive is aligned that you should do this. Yeah. And so everyone does it. As soon as you are like even remotely out of it in April, you just start selling off everything that isn't nailed down.
Well, that's it. That's the clip package of the trade rumors that have been swirling around us for so long. And probably will continue until the next year, and some bonus thoughts on the Padres. Again, thanks for listening to our Padres content this year. I'm going to leave you with one last clip. Dallas and I recorded at halftime of the Ohio State-Michigan game. Dallas and I had a long year of dealing with SDSU trolls and just getting in the middle of that whole stadium debacle. And this is a little residual, just some final thoughts and just kind of taking the temperature of where we're at with that whole thing after the election. Again, thanks for supporting the Kept Faith, and check out the Patreon at patreon.com/thekeptfaith. And we're going to try to do some more stuff in 2019. We're probably going to do something around the trade deadline, maybe a live event and a giveaway or something like that. But we'll be talking to you about some more events next year. Check this out. This is us getting political one last time in 2018. All right. We're at halftime of the Ohio State University versus Michigan.
The Ohio State University. I want to make sure you said that. Versus Michigan Junior College. And it's going really good. We're up, you know, it's 24-19. We had some mistakes. There's some mistakes, but that's going to happen. This is the biggest game in college football. It's the game. It's one of the biggest rivalries in sports across the board. I think maybe only Yankees Red Sox might be bigger, but Houston Astros and Mariners. I don't know. I'm just joking, but the Vetter Cup is probably a little bigger.
It is.
Padres and Mariners is a little bigger than Ohio State, Michigan. This is what I live for. This is the one game I don't miss every year. I watch every year from start to finish. My dad was here last year. You and Travis were up here at the house last year. My dad, who lives in Ohio. And it's a special moment.
We just had Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
As a San Diego sports fan who lives in Temecula, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful I don't live in San Diego anymore. They seem to be every election. I feel more and more thankful that I don't live in San Diego anymore.
This election took a lot out of all of us, I think.
Well, it's funny, like, the whole San Diego is notorious for not getting anything done. Yeah, they are. And that'll never change. It's never going to change. So if you want it to change, you should just move. Because there's too many. San Diego's a transplant city, whether you're like, well, what are you talking about? I'm a native. Don't care that you're a native. You probably don't vote. But the people transplant, they come in from all over the place with their own ideas of what they want San Diego to be, what they need San Diego to be. And then you have people who are from San Diego who are like, well, I want it to be what it's always been. And they just fight. And then they meet in elections and no one knows what to do or how to vote. Nothing ever gets done. We don't have any real leadership in San Diego. I mean, I cannot believe that Kevin Falconer, like literally the day after or the night of or whatever that SDSU West initiative passed, all of a sudden he supports it. Like, what a chicken shit mayor. Like, I mean, and I hope to have him on the podcast. I really do, because I'd love to talk to him about what that decision was. And maybe he will, maybe he won't want to talk about it. But I can't believe, like, if he had any kind of leadership during that process, you might not have had people literally fighting each other and then, like, going after each other on Twitter, or people from different places going after members of the media. Like, not like in a way of like, I disagree with you, but literally making phone calls and threatening people. I mean, that's what people don't understand about the SDSU West thing. I don't mean to go off right away about it, but that's the thing, like, about it, is that it's hard to convey what it actually was happening to, like, Twitter trolls, like the SDSU West Twitter trolls who also claim that they're not trolls but completely are trolls. They go, they don't understand that whether it was them or wasn't them, you literally had people from that group threatening people. Like, being cruel and mean. I mean, we had people trolling us. Like, if you go to our iTunes page, for example, and you look at our rating and reviews, it's clear when we started doing TKF United that we started to get one-star reviews from people who, one, tried to make fun of the Padres, so they clearly didn't understand what we were doing, and two, were clearly just SDSU trolls who were upset, and so they got revenge by giving us negative iTunes reviews, which is, like, cute and funny, and how adorable of them to get revenge that way. And then they go after you on Twitter, and it's just like, well, okay, I'll just start blocking all of them. Like, and then, like, they win the election, and then this team, SDSU, loses.
They're 0-2 since the election.
And, like, they're so blinded by their loyalty. These SDSU West supporters are so blinded by their loyalty, which is good. I mean, be loyal to the school you went to. I don't have a problem with that at all. But, like, they're so blinded to it that it didn't matter the specifics of the plan. It's the same thing with the Chargers fans. The Chargers fans who voted for the Chargers stadium thing were so blinded by their loyalty to the team that they didn't understand the specifics of the plan. They didn't read it. They didn't pay attention to anything. And if you did, then you would realize that SDSU actually doesn't have a plan. Like, there is no real plan to make all of the things that they said are going to happen. It's just not there. And that's not me being a supporter of soccer. I'm glad that soccer isn't here. I don't care if soccer was here. That was never my argument. My argument was, I want to vote for the thing that actually has a plan to make it work for the city of San Diego. And if you looked at the two plans and you read them and you actually paid attention, then you would know that the SDSU West people did not actually have a real plan that you think is actually going to hit their goals, get through all the lawsuits that are going to come their way. I mean, it's going to be a mess for the next 5 years, and they're just going to give up because they're going to waste millions upon millions of dollars on something that will never happen because, as we know, Nick, San Diego can't get anything done.
Yeah, well, since the election, they've lost two games, and I think it's been pretty amazing how thin-skinned a lot of SDSU fans are about it. Like, you can't ask whether or not Rocky Long is on the hot seat, which is, like, I actually wanted to know what diehard fans thought about him, and, like, I think 1090 did a poll. I've asked a little bit on Twitter, but, like, it seems like it's really loaded to ask that, even asking, like, a diehard fan how they feel is, like, it's, like, threatening to them.
Well, and it's funny too. Like, this is how bad San Diego sports is. He is a coach of a team that just lost two in a row, two teams that we should have easily beaten. And we're like, well, he's the best coach we've ever had, so why would we fire him? Like, he's literally the best coach San Diego State's had since Don Coryell or whatever. So why on earth would we ever fire him? That's their reaction to a coach who is losing to teams that he should beat. And they're like, well, it's not his fault. Okay, then it's not his fault. Do you fire the team? No, you can't. So who do you – like, it's just – they don't think rationally. Like, if Urban Meyer – Urban Meyer is one of the greatest – I'm an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, have been since birth. I'm sorry. It's my – I was born in Ohio.
We'll get to Urban Meyer later when you in the second half of this game. But
like, I was, you know, like, it was ingrained in me. I moved to San Diego when I was 2 years old, and I've lived here my whole life. My dad still lives in Ohio. I've talked about this on the podcast before. It's just been ingrained since I was a little kid. I'm a Buckeyes fan. But Urban Meyer, right? We've lost one game. We've had some pretty terrible wins this season. He is on the hot seat. Like, people don't know that, they don't think he is, but he is. And he is 10-1, constantly in the playoff picture for the college football, constantly one of the best recruiters in college football, and he is on the hot seat. That's what happens when you have a football program that matters and that people care about. But when you have a coach like Rocky Long, not saying he's a bad coach, I think he's probably a good coach, but when you have a coach like Rocky Long who's lost these games, who's lost several games, who cannot get the team over the hump, yeah, he should be on the hot seat. That's just logical college sports fandom.
Yeah, and the problem I have with it is that they fought for this. This election was about actually getting San Diego State a bigger stage, mm-hmm. and whatever, what all, everything that comes with that, and they're like, to have this reaction to criticism of anything of the football team seems to go against like what they were trying for. They want to be a bigger deal, but when you become a bigger deal by the democratic process, they actually won. They had a clear victory. And now you don't really want to hear criticism of the football team because that's, you know, that's too threatening to you. You know, like, and I don't, that bothers me the most. It's like, you don't want, you want the bigger stage, but you don't want what comes with that. And like, sites like ours and just people that love San Diego. I mean, I think it's one thing, like, if they lost, that if we were taking shots at them, but I don't know. I mean, I think they need a bigger, they have to have thicker skin if they want to be a bigger deal. Yeah. And we don't, and that's regardless if they even make it to becoming a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know if they're going to join a Power Five conference in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Probably, I don't know. It sounds like pretty
It'd
like
cool
a,
if they did.
It would be
so cool if they did.
And everybody's rooting for San Diego State. Like, I think most San Diegans, yeah. most people that live in the county, whenever they're doing well, it's like, oh, cool, San Diego State's in the Sweet 16. Everybody's rooting for you. They're not this fake victimhood of like, them feeling like everybody's against them and everybody's trying to like keep the university down. It's like, nobody feels that way. We just don't believe you when you're saying that you want to just reinvent Mission Valley in a way that doesn't seem possible anytime soon, that anybody voting on it now is going to reap the benefits from.
Well, and it's also like, it's just one of those things where like, they want to say Soccer City's just a land grab. Well, so is San Diego State was. Like, don't fool yourself. If you were just honest with yourself about what it was, then I think you get a lot more supporters. But people go, no, it's when we need to think of San Diego, we need to think of higher education being a first priority. Sure, it's a land grab. Like, the people who are benefiting from the SDSU West is not you and me, Nick. I mean, it's definitely not me. I don't live in the county anymore. But it's not you. You're not going to get your SDSU West check in the mail. It's the people who are building and developing on that land and the school itself. Those are the people reaping the benefits. So it just makes me, it's silly. And you're right. If you want your team in the Pac-12, and if you want your team on a higher stage, then half of that will be criticism. Half of that will be people now crapping all over your team. Because right now, if you were to move into the Pac-12, you would be probably the worst team in the Pac-12. That's just what it would be. Like, that's not me insulting San Diego State. Because you're right. When they're in the Sweet 16 or when they're at a bowl game or something, everyone in San Diego is rooting for them. I'm rooting for them. I have the Buckeyes, and on the West Coast, they're my West Coast team. Like, I always want the Aztecs to be good because I can go to games. I can actually be there and enjoy the team. It's just silly that when you won the vote, SDSU West supporters, you didn't win people never talking about your team again. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Your team is now more important because we don't have the Chargers. So therefore, you're going to get more people crapping all over you. Good luck dealing with it, because right now you can't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the issue I have post-election with just not being able to say anything critical. I don't like that. You know, we take shots at the Padres. And what
we've built an entire empire taking shots at the Padres.
Well, yeah, like we did. I mean, I don't know. I'm not, no, it's just that. I know.
That's sports. That is sports. Like, it's just that.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's Erin at VOSD.org.